Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with IRS Chief Information Officer Todd Grams. Also joining us in our conversation is Jeff Smith. Todd, the IRS, like many federal agencies, is currently dealing with a reduction in budget. How will you incorporate these types of reductions with modernization planning and other IT efforts?
Well, our budget is declining, and that's been a consistent trend, actually, over the past several years. At the same time, however, the demand for our IT services, as you can imagine, has been increasing. So in that kind of environment, it becomes even more important for us to drive the focus of increasing value throughout the organization so that we really leave no stone unturned in our efforts to become more efficient and effective. I think a good example of that is the workforce restructuring. Those 1,000 positions that we restructured over the past 2 years actually have a dollar value of over $100 million. So because we did that workforce restructuring, we are spending today over $100 million in a more effective and efficient manner than we were 2 years ago. And we have to keep the momentum going on initiatives like that as we go forward. I will add this, though. There's only so much you can do in a certain amount of time, okay, within the rules and regulations of the federal government to actually achieve major efficiencies on the scale of what I just talked about. So I don't think efficiencies alone are going to be enough given the trending of our IT budget along with the demands that are being placed on us. And that's fine. We just got to figure out a way to deal with it. So we're working, again, exceptionally close with our business partners on this issue, and that is to prioritize our IT services so that we can intelligently discuss potential trade-offs with them so that when the efficiencies are fully tapped, that will mean that as we bring on new services, if we can't pay for them through efficiencies, then we're going to want to talk to our business leaders about what old services that are now a lower priority to them we can either curtail or eliminate.
We understand that your office is taking steps to stabilize the technology infrastructure. What activities are you currently undertaking, and what have you learned from this process?
This is a really interesting and challenging area for us. It came out of some of my visits to our customers and IT employees in the field, where they frequently commented on issues they were having that dealt with outdated or old hardware, you know, from printers to laptops to desktops, and for our guys, even servers, switchers, routers, and the like. So it really is the whole hardware inventory that we're focused on in our current infrastructure initiative. At the same time, everybody knew we had a problem. No one could tell me what the size of it was or kind of what the root cause of it was. They just felt it, and they knew it was there, and it was having an impact on productivity at the IRS. So last year, we had an effort underway to quantify it. And what we found out is that basically by industry standards, an agency as large and complex as the IRS that depends so much on information technology, you know, we should be spending any given year between $150 million and $180 million on just replacing and replenishing our IT hardware. So what we did was we developed a policy that we're calling 369. And what that means is we're committed to saving and reallocating 3% of the IT budget every year from somewhere besides hardware infrastructure and sending that money over to hardware infrastructure so that we can shore up that critical part of the IT budget. So we're not asking for anyone to come in and save us on this by giving us more money. We are committing internally to come up with these savings. Now, this is in the face of increasing demand and declining budget, so it does make it quite a challenge, but it is absolutely the right thing to do.
Switching gears a little bit, Todd, we talk with many of our guests about the impact of the pending retirement wave in government employees with government employees. How are you handling succession planning at the IRS?
That is another one of our top priorities for this fiscal year. We've taken several steps recently. For example, at the executive level, we recently completed a set of 360-degree evaluations, which has given us additional insight into the strengths, opportunities for growth, and future potential for different or more responsibility for our current executive team. We also recently completed a mapping of our executives, knowing what changes were in store, retirements, moves, things like that. We're actually getting to the point where it may be for the first time in the CIO organization, we will have a mapping of, you know, this person's leaving next June. Who is going to take their place? And what are we doing in the meantime to get them ready? And then when that person moves next June, right, the second person affected, then who's going to be the third person affected and who's going to move into that job? And what's especially critical is not only getting ready for that, but by doing that, we identified places where we are confident we don't have anyone to fill those slots in the amount of time allowing for the changes that are coming. So in that area, we're going to be looking at either bringing other people from the outside, which I talked about earlier with private sector experience, or from other federal agencies. And that's actually one area that we have to get better at is networking with other federal agencies and learning what talent's out there so that when those folks at other agencies are looking for broader opportunities, we can tap into that at the IRS.
We also understand that you're focused on cost accounting and performance measurement. Can you tell us more about those activities?
Yeah. As a former CFO, Jeff, this one is near and dear to my heart, and I genuinely love talking about it. This gets to the value question. You know, what are we spending? What are we spending it on? And what are we getting in return for spending that taxpayer dollar? So it's a fundamental question that while we can answer it at certain levels in the organization today, we can't answer those kind of questions at a finite level of detail that we can make some of the more day-to-day business decisions that we ought to be making in the CIO organization. So by the end of this year, and this is in the commitments of every single one of the top executives, at least my direct reports, and it's in my own performance commitment this year, that by the end of this fiscal year, we will have a cost accounting system in place in the CIO's organization, not just a budget financial accounting system, but a cost accounting system in place, as well as a performance measurement system in place. And that's not to say that we haven't been able to measure performance in the CIO's organization in the past. It gets back to my point earlier about having kind of one CIO organization. We want to bring all that together so that we're not measuring and looking at costs in stovepipes within the CIO shop, but we're looking at it across the organization so we can make sure that the $1.8 billion is absolutely spent to generate the most value to make tax administration more effective and efficient.
Todd, you've certainly enjoyed a very successful career in government. What advice could you give a person who's interested in a career in public service?
First, I would say know and believe that you can make a difference if you want to dedicate yourself to public service. And if that is important to you, and more important than a bottom line or becoming a millionaire, because I assure you, you will not become a millionaire working for the federal government, but you do have an opportunity to have an impact for the good of our country. I would say second, it's about people. When you just start out in your federal career, try to attach yourself to some really good people. Learn from them. Hopefully they'll start to look out for you and help you get some opportunities that maybe you otherwise wouldn't had. After you've been there a while and your career progresses, then you got to surround yourself with good people. So just don't forget the people aspect of it, because if you're going to achieve great change, you will not do it on your own. That's a fact of life. Third, set aggressive goals for yourself and your organization. Do not sell yourself short. Do not listen to people who tell you that a grand vision or a big push to change something cannot be done. And I would say last but not least, just be persistent. You know, not only day in, day out, if somebody tells you something can't be done, continue to ask why until you hear an answer that satisfies you. In a lot of cases, you won't, and you'll have that opportunity to push change. And also, in a bigger picture, if timing's not right, still be persistent. If you can't push a given issue today, then find another one. Government agencies are large enough. We're never without issues that we can't work. We're never without opportunities for improvement. So I guess I equate that persistent to almost kind of like being a running back in football, right? You're going to hit the hole as you go to the goal line. If you get to the line and the hole that's supposed to be there isn't there, fine, adjust. Keep your legs moving. Keep the goal line as your focus. Just find a different hole to get through to get you there.
That's fantastic advice. We've reached the end of our time, and that'll have to be our last question. First, I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. Second, Jeff and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the public and our country in the various roles you've held at the IRS, the VA, and at OMB.
Thank you, Al. It's a pleasure to be here. Jeff, good to see you again.
Thank you.
Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Todd Grams, Chief Information Officer at the Internal Revenue Service. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's fascinating conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who can't hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.